third down and 20.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the 3rd and 20 Dynasty Podcast. I'm JT, joined by Frank and Jake. No Lunas today. We are still in the middle of the offseason. OTAs just started happening. But I want to kick us off with some interesting news and notes that, I don't know, just some speculation and whatnot. But it looks like after the NFL had their, I'll call it, second gambling suspensions, first being Calvin Ridley last year, then we had Jameson Williams, Quintez Cephas, and a couple other Lions get suspended. It sounds like there's another wave of potential gambling violations that might be coming through the NFL. So just something to keep on your radar. It would be very annoying to, maybe you're doing startup drafts now. Now would be a good time for startup drafts. It'd be very annoying to spend a high pick on someone who's about to get suspended for the season. So just something to look out for. I don't know if it's actually going to be any skill players. I know nothing other than what ESPN reported. So that should be interesting. In other news, the Browns are not expected to sign Kareem Hunt. And that is something that I talked about last week, where I was like, we were talking about Nick Chubb and other old or aging running backs. And the question was what to do with them. And I said, wait until the news about the Browns not wanting to sign Kareem Hunt comes out, which literally happened just a few days after. So now here we are, Jake. I think we were talking about it last week. What do you think a fair price on Nick Chubb is? Because I already saw one of the dynasty football analysts going, this is Nick Chubb's in place for the best season of his career, blah, blah, blah. What's a fair price on Nick Chubb?
You're going to get, like, it has to be, you know, a first, right? That mid to late first. And obviously it would be higher, but he is hitting that 26, 27 range for a running back, and it's just not the age. Oh, he's already 27. So, you know, it's just not an age that you're going to get that 2 first-round pick price that you once might have gotten for Nick Chubb about 2-3 years ago. But with this news, I mean, they're going to feed him the ball. Their backup running back is, I think, Jerome Ford at this point, who scares me not at all. I think they still have what's the guy's name? The guy that plays also wide receiver.
I know who you're talking about. He was a Senior Bowl stand, whatever the fuck is.
Dimitric Felton.
Yeah, Felton. But I think that they've been literally playing him at receiver now. Like, I'm not even sure he's in the contention for running back.
Oh, well, either way, this backfield is Nick Chubb's and Nick Chubb's alone. He's probably going to have another 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards, 8-plus touchdowns. I mean, I think he's set up for a very good season again, especially if Deshaun Watson can look more like the Deshaun Watson we saw in Houston and not what we saw at the end of last year. Either way, I think Nick Chubb's set up, but the price is going to remain at that late first just due to the age concerns that all these dynasty players are going to have moving forward.
So I have Nick Chubb in a fair bit of leagues. I enjoy myself a nice Nick Chubb here and there. I'm not going to move him for a late first, especially I think it would still have to be like more like a first. And I'm still looking for a first and a second. Honestly, I'm still looking for a first and a second. I understand people aren't going to pay that. And my next question would be like, okay, what is the realistic value difference between Eckler and Chubb? And like, what should it be?
The difference between Eckler and Chubb should not be much just because they're both in the same category for me of that older running back that's still going to put up monster numbers this year. But to me, the issue comes in when you start talking about like Saquon and guys like that, where obviously there is a fair value difference there. And that's just because Saquon's 25 and not 27, almost 28. So it's just you got another 2-3 years out of Saquon before he gets there. And if Saquon's worth, you know, a first and a second, like you've been looking for in a bunch of the 3rd and 20 leagues, I just can't say Nick Chubb's worth the exact same.
Yeah, looking at the bulletproof ADP list, Saquon's got an ADP of 306. Austin Eckler's almost a full round behind at 405. And then Nick Chubb's almost a full round behind that at 504.
which is amazing, because I think Nick Chubb, there's a sizable, there is a legit value difference between him and Eckler, which I don't think should exist personally.
I agree. Whatever. I don't think that really should be a big gap, but.
Because I agree with you, Jake. I think that Nick Chubb could easily have the best year of his career next year. I just think, okay, you look back. Okay, listen, this is a different age of football. I completely respect that. But just hear me out for a second. You go back to that 2000s period where there were some super talented running backs then, right? And the running backs were a lot of teams' offense, right? They were full-on run merchants. These dudes were pumping out some of their best season at age 27, right? That was a prime motherfucking year. Recently, the trend has kind of been the running backs play better earlier in their careers. But my other argument there, and we looked at this a while ago, maybe two seasons ago, the running backs that were drafted in this early, the late, very, very late 2000s, I believe, and especially this 2010 to 2015, right before that nasty class, there were a shit ton of just busts in those running back classes. Right. They were I can make the argument that was the worst time period to ever draft a running back. Right. What if we that some of that, the good running backs are all young in their careers has been due to the fact that those guys kind of just stunk. And some of the guys now are just better. They're just actually good.
I just think it's a different time. It really is. With the league shifting towards the pass heavy offenses, teams are just not willing to really spend the money on these guys. And, Nick Chubb deserves his money at the end of the day. And I know he's going to take a pay cut and he's going to do whatever he needs to do to stay where he wants to be or play where he wants to play. And it's just, they're more willing to just draft the next guy because so many teams have shown to be successful with these young running backs that it's just not worth keeping around an older guy that's more likely to be injured at some point. It's just what it is. That's unfortunate?
That's more of a long-term thing, though. I feel like if I'm the Browns and I have Nick Chubb this year, I am running the fucking wheels off of him.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? If you're the Browns and you think he's your best way to win, along with Deshaun Watson throwing the ball to Amari Cooper and whoever else they got there, and Joku, Cedric Tillman, Peoples Jones, whoever they got, sure, I would run the ball a lot too. I think it'll set up the offense great, and I think Nick Chubb's one of the best running backs in football. It's just one of these situations where I'm, as a dynasty player, I know the cliff is coming. It is coming, and it's coming fast. Whether you want to say it or not, Derrick Henry is 29 now, and people say he's just not, he's a.
Yeah, but what if you bought Derrick Henry 2 years ago for that late first? Outside of the, because the injuries have kind of stunk, right? They haven't won you leagues. But if he didn't the injuries are fluke, right? It happens. Yeah, it's running backs, they happen more, but. If you invest, if you're a contender and you are destroying the league and you invest a first into Derrick Henry 2 years ago, that late first, maybe a third, or you're some random prospect to juice it up to get the deal done, right? Fuck it, whatever. My KJ Hamler a couple years ago. Yeah, take the bait. Go ahead. That's a nasty addition to your contending team. Yes, and you lose value in the long term, but at that point, you've recouped your next first.
I mean, listen, if you're a contending team and you want to go out and spend pick 111 or 110 on Nick Chubb, I think that's a smart move. I'm not going to say it's not. It's just if you're that team that's trying to turn the corner, right? You're that team that, been through a rebuild. You're right there. You're trying to now go acquire some veteran players to really complete your rebuild, swing you to a contender. That's not where I'm going to go. That's not where I'm going to turn. I think it's just too premature. I think it's just one of those things where you're really going to only want to buy Nick Chubb if you're, just lost in the semifinal, just lost in the finals, and you need that one final piece. You need that one final push. I'm not going to do it if I just finished, just outside the playoffs, think my players are going to develop another season. That's not when I'm going to try to do this trade.
What's going on, chat? Yeah, happy Memorial Day, everyone in chat. Thanks, Skull. Appreciate it.
You chat.
Joe, what's going on, dude? Chubb does better with a running mate. I don't know, dude. I think just Chubb is so good.
I just don't think it's going to matter. I think what we've seen from Nick Chubb is just, we already know. We know what Nick Chubb's going to be. He's going to be that 16, 17, maybe if he is at his ceiling, 18 points per game from Nick Chubb, which is good. It's good. And I'd argue that he was a lot more expensive a year and a half ago than he is now. And I think you're just going to get very similar production. So at the price he's at, I think he's okay. Like, if you could actually realistically get him for that late first, I'd probably do it because I'm looking up right now. Nick Chubb.
I think you would have to gamble one of your futures and play into the fact that, hey, if I can get to the championship, then this deal definitely works out. Like, yeah, value wise, it probably won't, but that season of points that you get could be pretty tremendous in IMO.
Looking at this draft, I think you realistically could trade Zay Flowers for Nick Chubb, and I think if you're a team that is looking to compete, that's something I would do. Otherwise, I think anyone after Zay Flowers, I don't think you'd be able to trade for Nick Chubb, and I think anyone before Zay Flowers, I wouldn't trade for Nick Chubb.
Where are you assuming Zay Flowers is? 109 right now?
Yeah, that 108, 109. 109 probably.
I agree. I think that's a generally speaking good price. Maybe you have to give a smidge on top of Zay Flowers, right? You throw in a third to sweeten the deal. I think that definitely gets done there.
Mm-hmm.
At least somewhere around that value. Obviously, it could be a scenario where the team that is let's just assume you're selling Nick Chubb because you're looking to retool / rebuild. You could always have that team that's just like, no, I don't like Zay Flowers. Fuck the Ravens passing attack.
Mm-hmm.
But value wise, I think it generally makes sense. Are you guys want to move on to the next topic before we don't have a ton on the agenda here. We're just going to start going off the rails at some point.
Yeah.
I guess before we just move on, though, where do we think Kareem Hunt ends up?
He's going to be very annoying. He's going to really screw up someone.
He's going to ruin someone's day.
I got it.
Oh, thanks, Scott.
I think it's going to be to one of these teams where they have a running back coming off an ACL tear, and they're either not picking up as quickly as they thought / like in camp they're like, oh shit. So to me, like Jets, Broncos,
I think Denver is a prime spot for that.
I think one of those two teams he could go in, and then all of a sudden this, because listen, I've seen so many people on Twitter being like, wheels up on Breece Hall, buy him even though he's like RB2 and like nowhere near as low compared to Bijan as he should be. And, like, same thing with Javonte now that the reports are coming out that he's going to be back a little bit earlier than anticipated. If all of the Twitter people are saying to buy him, he's not a buy then, because they're wrong a lot, right?
What about the Chargers? What about the Chargers? I know Austin Eckler is just committed and has more incentives, but
I mean, I think
we see it without Austin Eckler, what that team looks like.
I just don't see it.
I don't hate it. I think it's possible. But the one that I was thinking of, how about a homecoming to Kansas City?
I mean, they definitely need they still need there for a running back. I just don't know how that
played
works
in the offense.
He was like the top running back in the offense. He was like the rushing leader in that offense.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting one.
Because I don't know about the optics with it.
I think they would stay away from it just from like a PR standpoint. But football wise, I think it makes a whole lot of sense.
That could be something that's also holding Kareem back that we're not really thinking a ton about. It's like, okay, compare Kareem Hunt to Jamal Williams. Like, whether or not you think Kareem Hunt lost a step, like, come on. He, like, Jamal Williams is worth, he's getting paid, I think, like $6 million per. Like, Kareem Hunt can't even get signed, yet you're signing Jamal Williams to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, but.
No, it's fine. Like, if you think that Jamal Williams can be that bruiser running back that you can kind of rely, like, dude, if you get that output he had for
Detroit.
Every
single time. Every single time. It's just, the talent levels are just different to me.
Hunt lied to Reed's face. They won't take him back. Yeah, I would not be surprised by that.
Yeah, it is like, the optics thing.
He's just out. Like, even if they think it's a good signing, he's just out. It's like, dude, we've got fucking Mahomes. Do you think Kareem Hunt's making a difference?
So I'm going to use this as kind of a segue that I'm looking here. Like, so we have Kareem Hunt is still going to have to go to a team. Zeke, right?
Zeke still has to go to a team.
Zeke's going to sign with a team.
100%. Well, I know that, but he's not signed with the team currently.
I still think he goes right back to the Cowboys for a, you know.
Slightly. All right, well, hold on, hold off on that 1 second. We'll get into all of it. So Zeke, Dalvin Cook is probably going to get cut by the Vikings and end up on a different team, and Leonard Fournette, I'm assuming, will be ending up on a different team.
More.
Who else?
We missed someone. Can we talk about Jerome Ford?
If you want to backtrack real quick.
I have it written down.
I have
down.
Jerome Ford in the home league. If anyone wants him, you can have him.
I was looking at you third.
Like one fab.
I gave you a third.
A third is better than one fab. A third's pretty close. Yeah, a third's kind of, I think I'd take a third.
Okay, so like, I don't like Jerome Ford. I just like that's what I was assuming the price tag is if you want to get him. I've seen a lot of people hype him up, and I will say that I've seen some of the Browns beat reporters that really like Jerome Ford. At least a couple of them. I think he's a little bit divisive.
Yeah, I don't believe
I'm also curious though, if this is a spot where a different UDFA, because Jerome Ford was a UDFA, either that or he was like a super late round pick.
I think he was a 6th-round pick, if I remember.
If this is a spot where, it's open, right? One of these rando McMandos is going to make the roster as a running back, especially if Felton is no longer playing running back. Could be a spot where someone just comes out of nowhere. I'm definitely going to be interested to see the reports going around there, but no one buying Jerome Ford for a third?
I'm selling him for a third. Anyone wants him? what I try and do though, I think just take Jerome Ford and move him into, because I'm looking on Keep Trade Cut and they're essentially the same rating. Rashid Shaheed, I'd rather just take the gamble on him.
Yep.
I'm sure Jalen Naylor is even cheaper. I'd pivot off Jerome Ford into Jalen Naylor is like basically free. I take Naylor into 4th for Jerome Ford just because I think he's better. I have Jerome Ford, not surprised since I roster so many RBs. Yes, Cole. But Jerome Ford, I just think, isn't that. He's not going to be, even if Nick Chubb were to go down, I just don't think we're going to be seeing a Jerome Ford-led rushing attack. I don't think he's that kind of guy.
You're higher on Ford than me? Well, everyone's higher on Ford than I am. I'm pretty sure I... Because JT, I think, was the one that liked him the most pre-draft out of any of us. And I completely shat on Jerome Ford's existence.
Yeah, I remember you destroyed him. He's terrible. He's slow. He has no vision. He has no feet. I'm like, I thought he was all right. And then JT's like, yeah, he's good.
I still think he's good, a major bait. Give me any other back on the roster than Jerome Ford. I'm taking the field for the RB2 spot.
I picked him in the 5th round in our rookie draft when he was a rookie. So flipping him for a third, I'd consider.
You know what sucks? Lunas would definitely be randomly super high on Jerome Ford, and I would love to make a pod bet with him right now.
Probably.
I'm looking at who he's ranked around on Keep Trade Cut, and
I'd rather have Shaheed. You want to know what I was thinking? I don't know. You have to add something, but I don't know. I've seen some people really high on Jerome Ford, and maybe if you get the right camp report, right? You never know at this point. You get the right beat writer taking the bait on Jerome Ford. Maybe you could flip him for one of those upside tight ends, Okonkwo. It really depends on how much you like Jelani Woods.
No way.
I think he's ranked a decent amount lower than those guys.
Well, what do you have to add? It can't be a ton.
I'm trying to even find Chigakonkwo on the.
I got you. So
he's tight end 17. He's tight end 17 on, in ADP. He's going in the 12th round, while Jerome Ford's running back 70, and he's going in the 20th.
So on Keep Trade Cut, Jerome Ford is running back 53 at 2020 value, and Chigakonkwo is tight end 12.
Oh, wow. Whoa. He's gone up a shit ton. Well, do Jelani Woods. All right. Cut me a little slack. I also said Jelani Woods.
Chigakonkwo, the difference they have it as, I guess it's only, the difference is still only a third, but yeah.
Jelani Woods is probably pretty similar.
Jelani Woods is actually apparently worth less than Jerome Ford, allegedly.
That I could see.
It's very close, but
the problem with Jelani Woods is now Anthony Richardson is his quarterback, and I
don't really mind that much though. Like I think people are really over. It's annoying because I didn't snag any what's it called? It's Josh Downs, but I'm thinking about trading for him. It's a little expensive. Well,
if you think Josh Downs is good, and we know Michael Pittman is at least solid, that automatically bumps Jelani Woods to third on this team with Anthony Richardson as the quarterback. Like
I'm not paying Pat Freiermuth prices for Jelani Woods.
Yeah, but I think like you'd get similar value out of essentially anyone, like Daniel Bellinger, who's rated below him, Noah Fant, who's rated right next to him. I'm going through the list, Gerald Everett, who's rated right next to him. I just think you're getting those boom bust weeks out of Jelani Woods that you'd be getting out of those guys too. So I mean, they're kind of all one in the same, I would say. Like I don't know.
I think that where we differ, JT, is that I think it's not likely, but it's in the range at the top of the outcomes where he can be a Dallas Goedert. Yeah, I don't think he's going to become an elite tight end. But if that Colts offense is a good offense and they score a lot, Jelani Woods can just give me my really high value 70 targets, 55 catches for like 600 yards and 10 touchdowns, right? That maybe is like a super upside case. Then he's worth it generally. Like, yeah, he's not a stud muffin, but I flipped Jerome Ford for him. Yeah, I think that's also true. A trade that is going to be super league dependent. I don't think that's one that happens a whole lot. But once again, you get the right owner that likes Jerome Ford, or maybe has Nick Chubb and wants the handcuff, whatever. The right camp report coming out. That's the crazy thing. We saw fucking Braxton Berrios' value go up because he got ice cream with Zach Wilson. Like, anything could happen.
Fair enough.
We're in such a different world. Just a year later. Okay. Now, going back to what we were just talking about, though, there's a lot of aging running backs that are going to be that are currently free agents or about to be due to getting released. That are going to mess with this running back market. I don't think people are, you know, accurately pricing in to where these players are. I want to know your thoughts on the likes of Dalvin Cook, Zeke Elliott, Leonard Fournette, and where you guys think they end up, and if they really do mess with any other team.
I mean, one of them has to end up in Miami, I would assume. Still, and that's even just going to just...
Even with A-Chain
there?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they re-signed both those old running backs they already had and drafted one. Like, this, where's the room?
Where's the room when you're... I mean, like, if you're adding a Dalvin Cook, let's say, that you think still has enough left in the tank, you make room, right? I mean, that offense with Waddle... And Tyreek and Dalvin Cook, it looks pretty nice on paper, not gonna lie. So like, I mean, I think he wants to go home to Florida. I think it just makes sense.
I think the Jets are a team that could add a running back.
It makes sense for like a Zeke to me, right? You bring in a true just vet guy that you don't really need to expect much of, don't need to really pay him much at this point. Like, that's who I would assume the Jets bring in.
You know where I think one of them goes? The Patriots. They let Damian Harris go to Buffalo. It's kind of just Ramondre Stevenson there and then a bunch of unproven guys that they've gone in the draft, and then James Robinson, or the ghost of the Achilles of James Robinson. So, you know, if you're telling me Zeke or Dalvin Cook ends up available and looking to switch teams, I think the Patriots is a good spot because, as we know, this team doesn't really have a whole lot of passing threats. Ramondre Stevenson was the lone shining spot of this offense, but you can't run him out there 40 times a game. So there's going to be opportunity for one of these vets if they want to come in and still actually get meaningful touches. I think the Patriots is a good team for them to end up on.
I think people don't want to play for Belichick anymore.
It's possible, but they're also one of the teams with the most caps. Like, they're in the upper tier of cap space. Like, they're probably willing to throw more money at you than the likes of the Chiefs, the Bills, you know, those good teams that just are kind of strapped for cash.
Cowboys will probably sign one, but they don't have the cash. And I think that's kind of the stalemate right now with a lot of these players. It's not that teams aren't interested. It's that they only want to sign for like a 1 year, $2 million sort of ordeal. And these backs are looking to get that Jamal Williams contract if they can. And if I were them, I would wait it out right now to see if there's an OTA injury, something whack happening, right? You never know. There's one every season.
I think that's what's truly been here is that there's going to be a running back that goes down in camp, and then they're going to need to sign a running back, and all these guys are going to be lining up to sign with whoever needs that new running back for the year. Realistically, wherever these guys sign, they're going to ruin someone's day. Whether it's in Miami and all the A-Chain haters, all the A-Chain guys are up in arms, whether that's in Dallas and it takes away from, you know, the Tony Pollard truthers, whether that's in the Jets or the Patriots, like, it's going to take away from these guys like Ramondre Stevenson and Breece Hall, who everyone's all excited about, both are top 10.
I'll say I'm less concerned about Breece Hall than the other guys. Just because I think Breece Hall is like, I already have tempered my expectations with Breece Hall for this year because he's coming back from that ACL injury. I think it's going to take time for him to be up to 100%, but I'm not concerned about the likes of Zeke Elliott or Dalvin Cook or especially Leonard Fournette really supplanting him or actually taking valuable touches away from him. Now, said, Javonte Williams, I'm still not like, he had a way worse knee injury than Breece Hall. Like, I think his like entire knee got messed up from what I remember. Same thing with J.K. Dobbins, who we haven't talked about yet, and potentially the Ravens, who we know like to bring in the running backs.
That's a good shout.
Those two had their knees like they're very promising young backs, but they had pretty bad injuries to the point of like maybe this is a guy that comes in and actually does take a little bit of your running share away. Jets have four decent backs, Joe says.
My opinion on it is that the players that are, and it make like if we're gonna go contract Lunas, right? Hold on, let me change the hat to contract Lunas mode.
That's contract Lunas.
It only really makes sense for the teams that have a running back on a rookie deal to sign. And it makes sense from a lot of perspectives in that you actually have the cash to pay that position compared to the Chargers, or like the Vikings, right? You just don't want to allocate that much cash to the position. And if you did, you probably would sign the guy that you have. So like if you have a running back on a rookie deal, instantly you have a higher chance, as well as they don't have as much experience in the league. So like, do you really want to trust these dudes with the super workload? Unless it's like the really top tier ones. But like at the same time, it's just interesting because I think that the Jets still could, like you said, the Broncos could, the Ravens, and that might also be because people are slightly overvaluing the output of these running backs, regardless if they sign a stud second back. Because I don't really think I'd want to, as a franchise, give Breece Hall or Javonte Williams like the workload of Derrick Henry. Even though they're good, I just coming off of those big knee injuries, as well as how young they are and everything, like I just don't want to do that. I'll give them the 18 high value carries, maybe 20 touches a game with a couple passes, keep them fresh and whatnot, right? Use them like that, which we've seen is more of the meta with these NFL teams.
The Colts is another one too. I mean, I know Jonathan Taylor is great, but he was also injured last year. You have the rookie quarterback there and Anthony Richardson. Like, are you going to depend on Jonathan Taylor? Because we saw what happened when Jonathan Taylor went down for this team. I granted Nyheim Hines also got like concussed the next game. But it was not good. It was not good for the Colts when Jonathan Taylor was down. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went there either.
I think Jonathan Taylor is a buy, by the way, right now. He's massively underpriced.
Same, but I don't think that's going to stop the Colts from going out and getting like Zeke, for example.
What do you think the price difference between Jonathan Taylor and Saquon is?
A decent amount, just because. Well, all right, I'm looking at ADP. Jonathan Taylor's 207, Saquon Barkley's 306. Basically, a round difference. High round difference.
Okay, what about a second?
It's like more than a second, but less than a first. I feel like. I guess you can give like a super late first, but I don't. I would feel bad about that doing that.
First is a lot to me.
Maybe like a D hop, right? Like if you did like a D hop and Saquon.
But if I have Taylor, like that doesn't really. I don't know. I feel like that doesn't.
You're getting a lot of points. If you have Taylor and you're moving from him to Saquon plus Hopkins, like you're
picking up difference. Yeah, it's just the difference is 306, which seems so low.
Yeah, that's a little low.
I think it's a second.
I think it's at least a second. But I think what was more likely is that scenario where you give that high value old receiver. If we're just going from like, oh, I'm a team that has these older players, I'm looking to rebuild. You may have that type of build as a hard rebuilder. I think the problem is that like, what about Cooks? You know, you give Saquon and Cooks. I'm not sure you get Taylor.
I think the more likely trade that you see happen is you package together Saquon and I'm just going to pull some random Saquon and like a T. Higgins. Right, where is T. Higgins going?
That's a big name
in the third round. Saquon and T. Higgins for Saquon and like Amon-Ra for T. Higgins and Jonathan Taylor. Like you get like the you're moving slightly down in wide receiver rankings, but you're moving slightly up in quarterback.
You're putting down maybe like a DJ Moore going from like T. Higgins to DJ Moore.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing like that kind of thing where it's like, all right, I'm giving up a little bit on the running back end, but I'm picking it up on the wide receiver or vice versa. You know, I think that's something more likely because if you have Jonathan Taylor, I don't think you're like very excited to just trade down into Saquon Barkley, like
right.
And vice versa, like if you have Saquon Barkley, I don't think you're like, I really need to trade up and get Jonathan Taylor. Like, I think you're seeing it as the points are pretty close to being the same.
Impromptu segment coming in. It's flying in here. Watch out. DJ Moore.
I saw he's getting some buzz today, actually.
Has his price gone up, down? What the fuck happened with his price to the Chicago Bears? Because he's a weird player. I feel like he's not as expensive as he usually is. And is that just more so due to age than anything? Because I think he could have a huge year.
He's so if you look at his dynasty value chart, he is the most constant valued asset of all time. His line is basically flat.
Yeah, I'm looking at he's roughly 601, 602 in startups. Startup drafts. Oh,
man, that's just like such a solid pick to me. It feels like Stephon Diggs a couple years ago. I picked up Stephon Diggs in one of these leagues in like the sixth or seventh round in a startup. And I obviously with Josh Allen, he just fucking nuked. He went to the moon. Mm-hmm. But I think DJ Moore, yeah, it's not the sexiest buy anymore, but man, he's just so fucking good. Keenan Allen a couple years ago as well, right? Like you buy them when they're not at this peak young status and you're a contending team as a solid wide receiver to play. Man, like for the next 3 years, he could just be so fucking good.
The problem is I just don't love the Bears' passing attack.
I agree there.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I see the comparison you're saying with Diggs, right? Where, like, he was good, he's good, he's good, and then he just balloons, right? But, like, he ballooned because he went and joined Josh Allen. He didn't join Justin Fields. Like, I think that, like, the talent level between Diggs and DJ Moore is not that far apart, in all honesty. I think they're both very similar types of players, both from Maryland, too. So, like, I'm not going to go... Like, if DJ Moore's in a tray, I'm not going to shy away from it, but it's not someone I'm actively going out to target.
My issue with that is that for Justin Fields and the Bears' offense to be as bad as they were passing last year is at the bottom of Justin Fields' range of outcomes this season. Right? Like, if, yes, 100%. If Justin Fields does not improve as a passer, then it's like, okay, well, that fucking sucked. Like... He was trash for a large part of last season. Like, yeah, there was a couple games where he played. He torched the Steelers, right? Like,
yeah.
But the expectation, at least for me, is that he's not going to be as bad as he was last year. That he finally found his groove in the league. He's going to play confident. They gave him a shit ton more weapons now. So, like, I think that offense passing-wise just produces a shit ton more than they did last year. And I think DJ Moore is going to be the biggest reason why.
I think DJ Moore is so appropriately valued at, like, wide receiver 24 that it's just like...
Oh, dude, that's just so juicy. It's so juicy, wide receiver 24. I don't think you can actually get him at that price.
You probably
DJ
can.
Moore, I honestly think DJ Moore has the talent, the situation, and everything... to be like a 30% target share, like 27% target share, alpha stud, like I put up 1,300 yards receiver.
He kind of, what was his target share on the Panthers a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
I don't think it was that too far off it.
Yeah.
I could pull that up, actually. Let me pull up DJ Moore stats here. But the thing is, like, I'm kind of more in the Jake camp where it's like, yeah, he might be a 30% or, you know, like a 27, 28%. But it's 28% on the Bears where they're passing it, you know, they're completing 25 passes a game kind of thing. Like, he's not getting the points or whatever. They're not scoring touchdowns. But the touchdowns that are being scored is Justin Fields running it in. I'm trying to get it's not to give me
yeah, but share. What other 27% target share receivers can Jake you London. Find for that value?
Not that value.
Every single other one is more cost.
Yeah, he had 27.7% target share Ridley. Last year.
But both of those guys didn't do it last year.
So wait, DJ Moore in 2022 had a 27.7% target share, 28.4 in 2021. 24.6 in 2020.
Okay, juice me.
In 2019 and 15% in 2018.
Another year of experience entering the prime of his career.
Yeah, I mean, about 28% looks to be.
Sixth round, still a great three-year outlook. I mean, how many boxes do you need to check in the fucking sixth round?
Oh, if you're talking about startup in the sixth round, yeah, smash by. But if you're talking about going out and having to give up a first round pick for DJ Moore, that's just not what I'm going to do.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm smashing it.
Go ahead.
I get it for one rando first as a contendy kind of team.
Yeah, I don't think you get him for that, though. That's the problem. Like, DJ Moore is worth straight up. It says the equivalent of Nick Chubb, Christian Watson, Deebo Samuel, or the equivalent of probably 110.
DJ Moore value didn't change for me after the trade, says Joe.
About 110.
Skull, low passing volume, stay away from DJ Moore. I don't know if I'd stay away, especially at this, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't stay away, but like.
Round. Godwin like says goal potentially. I don't know about Mike Evans if Godwin would push into that high of a.
Like I said, I think he is so appropriately valued at wide receiver 24, or you know, give or take two or three spots either direction. Like that's what he is, right? He's a guy that's going to give you close to 1,000 yards and about 4 or 5 touchdowns, and he's going to have a nice day and finish in that wide receiver 2 conversation, and that's what he is. And I don't see that changing with this shift. It's what he was with the Panthers. It's what I think he's going to be
here. I'll tell you what, though. Frank going to bat for DJ Moore like this. Frank, I'm going to push us into the next segment of trades we're doing. We could talk about the other thing in a second. Because there's another similar player that has like pretty close to dead-on stats as DJ Moore. And he is going – I'm looking at the ADP right now. I just lost him. Killing my entire thing right here. He's going at the almost the 9th round, 8-11, Deontay Johnson. His target share in 2021, 28.5, which was 0.1% higher than DJ Moore. His target share in 2022 was 27%. Basically, say 0.7% lower than DJ Moore. They're basically getting the same target share. But Deontay Johnson is going 2 rounds, almost 3 rounds behind DJ Moore.
He's another fantastic buy. You're not going to hear any.
Yeah, all right. Deontay as long as you're high on one, I'm cool with you being high on the other. I'm also very high on Deontay Johnson.
The trade you guys did was interesting. So JT got Dalvin Cook, Deontay Johnson, 306 and a 24 third for Juju, a 24 second and a 25 first.
Yeah, I guess I could talk through my thought process first on the trade, and then Jake, you want to say what you were thinking on your side. I've been wanting Deontay Johnson for a while. Again, it was Deontay Johnson, Dalvin Cook, 306 and 2024 third for Juju Smith-Schuster, a 25 first and 24 second. I was the side that wanted Deontay Johnson. I think he's being severely underrated just because he didn't catch a touchdown last year, so he didn't score enough points, so he's super low. I think he's a shoe-in wide receiver too. Could push for wide receiver 1 if Kenny Pickett's actually good, which I'm not sure if I'm willing to believe, but it could be. So I want him. Dalvin Cook, I just figured my team needed another running back. I mean, I basically just have Breece Hall and Cordarrelle Patterson as my main guys, and then kind of just like a mishmash of not good other running backs who might get chances, kind of like the Skull Strat. I just think Dalvin Cook, he's getting discounted a little too hard based on the reports that he's going to get cut. He's also going at like 8-12 in startups, which is behind the likes of Cam Akers, Isaiah Pacheco, Miles Sanders, Rashad White, all those guys who I think he's better than. So I kind of just wanted to capitalize on that opportunity of two guys that I thought were underrated, even though I think, you know, at the end of the day, maybe their value is not going to go up a ton. And then the thirds were kind of just compilations for me giving up other draft capital. What was your side of it, Jake?
So my team here in this league has been kind of stuck in the middle for 2 years now. And I was just ready to kind of lean into a retool, rebuild-ish year. I wanted to get rid of Dalvin Cook. I just thought this was the time before his value goes to complete nothing. And honestly, I am a George Pickens believer. So I actually had both Pickens and Deontay on this team. And I was just going to ride the Pickens train here. I truly think Deontay Johnson isn't overrated. I think he's slightly underrated, but not as underrated as people think. Like he's only had 1,000 yard season. And I don't think people realize that. Like he gets a lot of his points just based on, it used to be Big Ben quick dump offs shit. Like most of his points were PPR target share. I understand that. And I just don't know if the offense is going to look the same. I know he still had 147 targets last year, and that's great. But he, you know, he only put turned it into 800 yards and six touchdowns. Like,
no touchdowns.
Yeah, 800 yards and no touchdowns. So, like, obviously that touchdown regression is going to come back. But I think Pickens takes a step forward. And this is going to be a more 1A, 1B situation, in my opinion. And I think Pickens is the more red zone threat here. He's the bigger, more physical jump ball wide receiver that you want to see in the red zone. So I wanted to do that. I also think Juju was a big piece of this trade for me. I just think he's a guy that's very underrated as well. I mean, I think if Juju and Deontay could put up, you know, roughly the same season, if we're looking at it in reality, this Patriots receiving core is not good. Juju is the clear number one receiver on that team. And Mac Jones has to throw the ball to somebody. I know he's going to throw the ball to his tight ends. They have Hunter Henry and Gesicki there and Jonnu Smith. They trade Smith, but he has to throw the ball on one. I think Juju is just, you know, a classic Patriots wide receiver. I think he's going to fit in this offense very well with Mac Jones. And on top of this, the first I got, which was the first thing we really talked about in this trade negotiation, was I did not want Frank's 24 first in this league. That pick was not even a thought of mine. So going to this 25 first for a team that I think is aging and declining was a big piece, because I think that could end up being a top four pick realistically. And if I can get a top four pick for Deontay Johnson and Dalvin Cook, and I get Juju back and stuff, I think this is a great way to really kickstart my retool here.
Skull in chat is on the Deontay side of it, so I got his stamp of approval. Shout out, Skull.
So my Frank, quick take. Thoughts? Quick yeah. take. Is I'd probably give the slight edge to Jake simply because of this. I think that Deontay and a third for a first is like a pretty dang on even deal. Down the line, you're going to want the first, but as a contender, I would definitely take that Deontay side. You get it like a, let's say it's three, either the 306 or the 24 third, right? If as long as it's like a mid third, that's pretty good. I'll 100% take that as a contender. And especially not if, like, let's say in this scenario, you have 24 first or firsts. I don't remember how many. You get to push that out till 25. Like, I think that's pretty solid if you're looking to add a depth spot. But then getting into the other, like that second leg, Dalvin Cook and a third for Juju in a second. I'd probably rather have the Juju in a second as a contender or a rebuilder. It really depends on if you think that Dalvin Cook's going to have that like stud muffin year and be good for long term. Because if you think like I was saying with Nick Chubb, if you think that Dalvin Cook is that level running back and he's going to like age, like I think Nick Chubb is going to age, then yeah, that's a good deal for you. I just don't think of that Dalvin that way. That's more.
I didn't either.
It is kind of like that's a big issue. The thing about Dalvin Cook is kind of just a. Either he's going to fall off the tracks or he's just going to keep pushing. Slot I was willing to take a risk on. Why I was willing to give up for Juju in that instance is he was just on the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. And I know Travis Kelce is obviously the number one target there. But after that, he wasn't really competing with
many wide receivers. Kelce is such a target hog there. And Mahomes just spreads the ball.
Yeah, but kind of.
Wide receiver, like it's a different style of offense, and I think he actually fits here with New England probably better.
Other than that one year on Pittsburgh, or I guess maybe a year and a half on Pittsburgh, where he was like really good, I kind of think Juju's just been holding on to that like kind of name brand thing, where he's not actually putting up meaningful points above like replacement value. Like he's giving you like 11 points per game kind of thing, which is like. Solid, like you like to have him as your like flex spot or something, but like I just think on a team with the Patriots with Mac Jones, obviously they have better or they should have better play calling than they did last year, because last year was kind of rock bottom, I would say, for the Patriots. I'm just not that excited about Juju this year. I know that his competition for targets is pretty also dreadful. But I just think that might just be bad for the offense as a whole rather than good for Juju, because Juju's going to get all those targets.
All right, I've got a lot of things I want to segue into. I'll pull the room.
Okay.
I was thinking we can continue to touch on my Steelers and go into Kenny Pickett, or we could go into potentially my sleeper on the Patriots receiving core.
Let's go sleeper first. We'll stick with
the Patriots. I'm just curious who it is.
Yeah, I want to hear who the sleeper is.
I'm just curious who it is. Because if you're about to say Kayshawn, I'm just going to be like,
no. And? I think that Tyquan Thornton, for his price tag, is a very interesting buy. I thought that his tape was better than the stats. Last year, obviously, Thornton, like the offense was so dreadful. He's more likely to break out in years 2 and 3 than he was his rookie year. Battling the injuries. And when you look at his numbers, he played a good amount for a rookie receiver, right? He actually got in the game. So I think that that organization does like Tyquan Thornton, what they've seen from him. We just haven't seen him in the game. Probably more of a startup play and like that risky receiver pick, unless you want to. And I completely agree with him. If you're going Skull Strat, you're probably not going to go and pick him up, right? If you're going the Skull Dynasty, I'm picking up every backup running back known to man. Go ahead, pass in your Tyquan Thornton because he's clogging your roster. But I think that he's someone that's interesting. Thinking about sending my thirds for him, someone that I definitely have on my radar. And I also think that as a potential stonks play, he could be a dude that goes up in camp if he gets those camp reports, baby.
He is just that really fast guy where he's gonna break off some camp plays that I think he's kind of guaranteed to go up in that.
Well, and there's no more Nelson Agholor as well.
Yeah, this team is I don't know what the team is going to look like come actual preseason and regular season, but as it's currently constituted, right? I think Ramondre Stevenson has a decent chance of leading this team in targets with Juju there as well. Those two being the top two. And then after that, I think it's just going to be a mess. You're probably going to see a lot of two tight end sets. Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki are both just fine. It's going to be 1 week for one and a different week for another kind of thing. It's not going to be fun starting either of them if you're relying on either of those guys. The likes of like Devontae Parker, who I've always hated that we gave up a third for him. I just don't think he's gonna have it. Pretty sure Kendrick Bourne's still there.
That's Kayshawn interesting.
Boutte.
I don't know because I remember Bill O'Brien's offense with Mac Jones at Bama. Now it is at Bama. I remember that was the Jameson Williams year and John Metchie year, if I remember. Yeah. Was it?
I don't know.
No, was that Bryce Young? I'm getting it mixed up here.
I don't know if Bill O'Brien was the coordinator when Mac Jones was there. Let me look at like his history.
Year after? And that was, I can't remember. That may have been Bryce Young.
He was at Alabama for 2021, 2022. So it would have been the year after Mac Jones, I believe. Let me double check that.
Nards.
As I'm looking here, Mac Jones was drafted in 2020. Yeah, so he's there the year after Mac Jones.
Okay, but I do remember that offense of Bryce Young did chuck the pill. They kind of chucked the pill. They threw it deep. I'm just curious to see if he brings that style of offense to New England.
The difference is that team had, you know, Jameson Williams and those guys.
But that was the worst Alabama weapons team.
Yeah, well, second worst to last year. Last year was pretty bad.
Yeah, and last year, excluding last year, I guess. J-Mo and Mechie, it's not like that's bad, but like, I mean, that wasn't amazing. I guess it depends on what you think of J-Mo. Shred.
I'm not a Jameson guy, Mechie, but I think he walks on in the Patriots and would be the wide receiver one of the team. I don't know if that's saying a whole lot, but I just think he would be.
Thank God Lunas isn't here.
You'd agree with that.
Point. He'd be insufferable. He would go all in on that. Yeah.
All right, what about you? Anything else? I mean, Gesicki, I think, is interesting, but it's the fucking Patriots receivers. These guys are all going to be mid as shit.
I'm not going to buy anything.
I don't know. I kind of like Juju. That's why I made this deal, but here we are.
Like, Gesicki could be good. I think he can go back to being his 700-yard self, yeah, which could be decent, right? He'd be a wastelord at that point, maybe a smidge. Yeah, he'd be a wastelord.
He'd be the best of the wasteland.
Yeah, he'd be like your new Gerald Everett.
Yeah,
and you know you're happy. You know you're one of those dudes that like, oh, you know, I don't have the Kelce, but I've got someone I can at least play. Woohoo.
Yep. Pretty much.
What about Kenny Pickett, though? Because one thing I find interesting on him, and listen, I agree with you guys. I have Kenny Pickett in like one league, and I'm not necessarily going out and actively buying him at his price tag. But one thing I will just state for the record is that I feel like the Steelers organization is so confident in Kenny Pickett. It's like kind of weird. I just didn't expect that.
I don't know. I'm very mid on Kenny Pickett. I just don't know. I think he has the weapons around him, and you know, Deontay and Pickens and Briarmuth and Najee in the backfield. That I don't think he really has to do much, right? I could see him playing this Alex Smith-esque role where he's good in what he does, but he doesn't do anything great, right? And I think the Steelers can win with that. If you put a good defense on the field and you just let your playmakers do their thing, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think Mike Tomlin's a very smart coach and can make it work. But I'm not going to sit here and go, you know, it's as good as Ben. And that's the problem with Steelers is like you're always going to compare to Ben for until you find your next super franchise quarterback. And I just don't think he's going to live up to that level. I mean, for dynasty aspects, I think it'll be fine. I think he'll be able to support a wide receiver, you know, two wide receiver twos, let's call it. And I think that's pretty good for him. And I think Najee's probably going to have a very solid year himself. And so Freiermuth will be a wastelord himself. You know, he'll be in that 700 yard, six touchdown gang and call it a day. So, like, I think overall this offense is just going to be what it is.
Here's the thing about Kenny Pickett. So after Tua startup drafts, right, where Tua's going near the end of the third round, typically, there's just a big gap where essentially, like, no quarterbacks are taken. I mean, Daniel Jones is kind of in there at the end of the fourth. But there's essentially, like, a three-round difference between that, like, where Tua's going and then three rounds of nothing for quarterbacks, and then Kenny Pickett, Trey Lance, Kirk Cousins are going there in the sixth round. I think that's okay pricing for Kenny Pickett. I've never been a Kenny Pickett guy. I don't think Kenny Pickett is that great, but we still haven't really seen enough to decide on Kenny Pickett yet. So I'm not going to like write him off. And I think at that end of the sixth round, that's okay. But I would just be more apt to trade him for guys that are rated below him, that are just older, in the likes of an Aaron Rodgers, or I know he was god-awful last year, but I still believe in Russell Wilson. I trade Kenny Pickett for those two guys. After that, I'm not trading Kenny Pickett for anyone lower than him in terms of in the quarterback world.
I'd rather just trade him for Deontay than those QBs.
Aaron Rodgers?
No, Kenny Pickett. If I'm a contender, like, dude, I'll trade for fucking Jacoby Brissett.
If I need a quarterback, I'm trading Kenny Pickett for Aaron Rodgers easily. And Aaron Rodgers is like two rounds behind him. I think Aaron Rodgers gives you like...
The thing is that like, let's say we're in an actual league. Let me trade Kenny Pickett for Deontay Johnson and then trade my second for Aaron Rodgers. And then we're happy now.
Okay. I mean, you get a plus on top of Aaron Rodgers for whatever you're doing, but sure. I don't know, though. Kenny Pickett, I just think, is like...
It's a risky play.
He doesn't have any excuses, really, at this point. You have the established wide receiver in Deontay Johnson. You have the exciting wide receiver in George Pickens, like Jake was saying. Like, you have an offense that is built around you. They did just get... what's his face? The lineman. Was that Broderick Jones?
Broderick Jones. Yeah. We invested a good amount. We picked up Simuwalu as well from Philly, who I think is pretty good. Line was pass blocking wise, they were average last year, which is saying something for where the Steelers were at a couple years ago. They were basically the most dog shit in every category you could imagine. And now we have depth too. So even if Broderick Jones, you know, destroys his knee, we've got Dan Moore who can at least play. It's not because, dude, there are some of these teams, they lose one of their tackles and it's just like, whoa, this guy stinks. Like,
yeah.
Pick it for a large frosty. Steelers are a smart organization. I always roster. Oh, cover your ears, Jake. I always roster Steelers, Ravens, and Vikings.
Not a bad strat. As a reason, not a bad strategy.
Ravens?
I mean, if you're rostering Lamar and Mark Andrews,
dude, if you just invested in all Steelers, Ravens, and Vikings, like you'd have players.
You'd have a team of Lamar Jackson, I guess Dalvin Cook,
Kirk Cousins, Kenny Pickett.
Sure, and then but your wide receivers would be Justin Jefferson. You would have Deontay Johnson, George Pickens. You would have a sick team actually.
Freiermuth and Hockenson. You'd have Najee, Dalvin
Cook. Oh, and Mark Andrews.
Dude, your team would be disgusting.
Well, Hockenson, it was
Skull's on lying. Something here. You just picked up Addison in the draft. You just aggressively traded for Addison.
And Zay Flowers. You got Zay Flowers, too. Yeah, those three teams actually do have like,
yeah, holy shit.
I mean, compare that to, like, the Patriots. I can't really do it with the. I was gonna do the
Patriots, AFC, Panthers, and
Jags, Texans.
Oh. Yeah, and Texans. You're a hardcore rebuild team. You just got half the value from the draft this year. Mm-hmm. More than that, dude. Skull, you might be onto something here. You might be onto something. What if you joined a startup draft and you're just like, yeah, I'm doing the three team strat. I am just stacking three teams.
I don't know enough about the theory of it, but the stacking teams and how you don't want, you know, multiple pass catchers from the same team, the kind of thing, but you want the quarterback and wide receiver or whatever. I forget how it works, but I've seen that before. I think that's more in the daily though.
Want to know what that's for. The theory behind that mainly that I've seen. Now I don't know a ton, but those super large best ball tournaments. The reason you stack like that is because if you get, you're kind of just gambling on super boom weeks, right? Like,
and if you get a Jamar Chase three touchdown day with Joe Burrow,
let's say I'm betting on, and you try to replicate that with the nastiest offenses, right? So like, if Joe Burrow in the championship week goes for five touchdowns, like. And I have fucking T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, odds are I'm scoring a fuck ton, right? Like, how many other guys are going to get all those yards and touchdowns? Not a lot. But they might steal more of the touchdowns, but, like, your dudes just went crazy, and you have now a super high chance of winning that championship. Or at least like placing really high in the league, right? Like, and you're trying to have an anomaly type score because there's so many people in the tournament.
God, kind of. I'm following. I don't know where we were going off that. We're talking about Kenny Pickett.
We're talking about Kenny Pickett. I don't know. He's interesting because I think he's one of those players that it's the weird phenomena of I don't really want to send my firsts into him, but if I can pick him up at good cost, it'd probably have to be lower than that 6'11 in a startup, but I'm not really sure how realistic that is. Like,
what is his cost though?
Fact of the matter is he can go up significantly. And I feel like you look at a lot of players that aren't rookies in the, you know, mid-sixth and beyond type values, type startup value. How many players can double their value in half of a season without going completely nuclear, right? Like, oh, yeah, true. Kardarius Toney all of a sudden is putting up 120 yards a game. Like,
yeah, I mean, the argument for him is he just has to get himself in consideration with the likes of a Tua.
So,
right.
Because that jumps him like, three rounds.
Realistically, you could, I mean, Keep Trade Cut says basically two mid-seconds is equivalent to Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, it's now, not happening.
That's where I'm going.
You might be able to think about though. Will Levis plus a second for Kenny Pickett? I don't think that's that far off.
Well, that's almost like a very early second. But yeah, if we're going in that realm of price, let's say I've got 203 this draft and someone really likes Kendre Miller, especially with the reports that have been coming out about Kendre Miller. You give Kendre Miller in a second, that's definitely in the realm in some leagues of Kenny Pickett. And I think the general consensus is most people are not super high on Kenny Pickett.
No, I'm not.
Similar to a Will Levis, like you just mentioned. Like, if you really want Will Levis, you can probably get Will Levis in your league. Outside of the leagues where you have the dude taking him at 109, you can probably get Will Levis if you really want him.
I ain't take him that far off, but we're in a 14-team league. Will Levis is the weird one, though, of that bunch. I think he can be that price, though. Can you pick it?
The problem I have with him compared to Levis, I like Pickett probably a little bit more than Levis in terms of who I would rather put my money on to reach that elite or at least quasi-elite status.
To build off that, Frank, you have Kenny Pickett was a first-round pick. He's got the better talent around him. He's got the coaching staff who has a more pass-first philosophy. Like, he's got a lot more going for him than Will Levis.
Yeah, I just like the Steelers. I think the Steelers is just a wildly better team any starting day one. Well, compared to the fucking Titans. But the only problem I have, though, is I think that Kenny Pickett's floor is way lower than – like, if Kenny Pickett comes out and stinks and Mitch Trubisky usurps him, it's like Kenny Pickett starts to get into, like, third-round territory real quick. And that is in the range of outcomes. You compare that to Will Levis. We had talked about this an episode or two ago. Will Levis can come in there, kind of stink it up, and as long as the Titans don't draft another quarterback and Malik Willis, Will Levis, then Will Levis probably isn't going down significantly in price. He's probably still worth at least a late second. Kenny Pickett can easily become less than a late second in value.
Malik Willis, they picked up what's his face off a practice squad. Was it Josh Dobbs? That who I'm looking at?
Oh, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, they picked him off practice squad.
Josh Dobbs' name.
No dirt. I'm just saying they picked someone up to play over Malik Willis, and Malik Willis is still rated above Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett,
Gardner Minshew.
Yep. Taylor Heineke, who also might have a chance of starting this year based on what Desmond Ridder does. Like, Malik Willis is still rated above all those guys, and he was awful. So even if Will Levis is awful, I mean, he's going to drop, but he's not going to drop as much as you'd expect.
Josh Jobs to be a starting quarterback.
All right, well.
All right there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm completely bullshitting, but I want Josh Dobbs to be a starting. I love Josh Dobbs. I miss him so much.
Charlie Batch.
Oh, Charlie Batch is such a legend. Yeah, I miss Charlie Batch. Oh, dude, I remember I went to a Steelers-Rams game way back in the day when the Rams, like, really stunk. I think this is the year that they got the first overall pick for Jared Goff. It might have been.
Or was it Sam Bradford?
I don't know. They were terrible. Maybe it was way before that, but they were so bad. I saw like three Rams fans at Heinz Field. Literally, like, you can count on one hand the amount of Rams fans there. And Charlie Batch was playing that game, and we smoked him. Everyone was going nuts for Charlie Batch. It was awesome.
What a guy.
All right, let's get into Baker Mayfield versus Kyle Trask. I saw this as a conversation in the Dynasty subreddit. I just looked at the title and scrolled past because why the fuck am I going to listen to that cesspool? But nonetheless, I do think it's an interesting discussion. More so Hold on. I agree with you guys. I'm not really in on the Kyle Trask thing. If we had Lunas here, he would say that Kyle Trask is going to be the starting quarterback and about to throw for 4,000 yards. So, disregarding...
Lunas, guys, he just went to Florida, so, I like him. So, 4,000 yards.
whoever the starting QB is here in Tampa. I saw a take on Twitter. I forget who it was by, so whoever said it, sorry. What if Tampa Bay is not a run merchant team? I feel like right now a lot of people expect them to run the ball a shit ton more. Like, yeah, I don't think they're going to be passing like 70 times a game. But why can't this team be a 60% pass offense, which I feel like is not really being priced in right now? I feel like it's like, oh, well, everyone's going to be shit. Tom Brady's not there. Oh, like, they're not going to pass the ball.
Listen, this team still has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So I don't think it's that out of the question. Mike Evans has only put up 1,000 yards or more in every single year he's been in the league. So I don't think that's really out of the question. And Chris Godwin is also a fantastic Pro Bowl wide receiver in his own right. So to have those two guys, and, you know, they have Cam Otten, or what's his name?
Kayden. They got Russell Otten. Gage as a number three, like a solid number three kind of
right.
guy.
Right. They have Russell Gage, solid number three. They still probably have Cameron Brate, you know, guy that's been.
No, they cut him, but they got a guy like Tyler Johnson who's interesting as well. Like, he's a rosterable like player.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I think this offense has enough passing weapons that, especially if it's Baker Mayfield, right? I'm not as much into the Kyle Trask thing as a lot of the community is right now, but I think Baker's, you know, when he went to the Rams last year, he looked pretty solid. Not great, but he looked solid. He looked like a low-end starting quarterback in the National Football League, and I think that's exactly what we're going to see, and I think that, at the end of the day, that puts up, you know, close to 4,000 yards and probably 22 touchdowns or something like that. So I don't think it's like enough to support Mike Evans to the level we've seen him in the past with, you know, the Jameis chuck in the pill years and then Brady years and all that stuff. But I don't think this passing offense is going to be as bad or, you know, as little, I don't know how to say this, like few passing attempts, as people are saying right now.
This is where you can take advantage of the unknown. I think arbitrage is the word I'm looking for, if anyone wants another big word. Where
big word, JT.
This is the big word podcast.
Yeah. Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield, people probably have more eggs in the Baker Mayfield basket to be a starting quarterback. But like Jake was just making the case for Baker Mayfield here and how he's, you know, basically surrounded by one definite Hall of Fame player, maybe two.
Yeah.
He's in a spot where he's going in ADP in the 14th round behind the likes of like Chase Brown and John Mechie and all these random guys who aren't going to score you a lot of points. Kyle Trask is way lower too. I think both of them are very undervalued because one of them is going to be a starting quarterback for this team. So if it's Baker, great. He's still decently undervalued. But if it's Kyle Trask, better.
I don't love him in startups, but I don't love either.
He's behind like I'd take him like three rounds higher.
Who is this? Who are we talking about?
Baker.
Either.
What round is he in a start?
Or Kyle Trask, 14.
Oh yeah, I'll take him in the 14th.
Kyle Trask is like in the 20s.
And I think, I mean, I guess the reason this is priced in is that no one expects them to be there long term. Obviously, both of these guys, either of them, people are expecting to be there this year, maybe next year. They find some other vet to take over, the Jacoby Brissetts of the world, and then they're finally bad enough to take their own guy, right? So, like, I think that's priced in, and that's fine. But like, I guess they kind of, I guess I'm kind of talking myself into it. Like, yep. They're going to be around for a little bit.
Just think about Jared Goff. Jared Goff's almost 8 rounds higher than Baker Mayfield.
I mean, I actually think Jared Goff's decent. So
like Baker Mayfield in a similar essence took his team to the playoffs, won a playoff game with him. And then, you know, had a bad season after a shoulder injury and everything. And then we haven't heard from him since in terms of fantasy relevancy. That could easily be Jared Goff. But the thing I'm trying to get at here is there's a point in this market where you could take advantage of, and it's it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and it's the San Francisco 49ers because, and I kind of probably also lump in the Falcons into that because I don't want to buy Desmond Ridder. I want to buy Taylor Heineke for the Falcons.
Oh, I would buy Taylor Heineke too.
Yeah. Cause I just think like you have Drake London, Kyle Pitts on
Ravens
the
too. Ravens receivers. Let's add them in.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was talking about quarterbacks, but we can add in Ravens receivers.
What?
Saw Ravens guy just his head exploded. All right, hold on. In terms of keeping this concise, let's just stick with the three teams in terms of quarterbacks.
No, add in the Ravens receiver.
These guys, though, no one knows who Ravens the starting quarterback is.
Overvalued.
So whether it's Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, or Sam Darnold, and whether it's Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask, and whether it's Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heineke, one of those quarterbacks is going to, or I guess three of them technically, one from each team, is going to see a big value increase going into the start of the season, where all of a sudden now Baker Mayfield, he's going for, I don't know, say like 308. I don't even know. I'm not looking to keep Trey cut. Let's just say that is. He'll be going for a second when someone needs a quarterback. If he's the starting quarterback, same thing with Taylor Heineke. Maybe he'll be like an early third, but Taylor Heineke right now is like a fourth or fifth.
You could definitely do like a Taylor Heineke and a third for a second, sort of a shindig going on.
You are going to see a value increase for three of those I named. Three of those seven guys are going to see a big value increase, and it's kind of just who. And if you went out and got all seven of them, I actually kind of want to try this. I think if you went out and got all seven of them at their current price, I think you come out ahead in the end, like starting September.
What if if
you just hold them and just wait for the starter to
every
reveal.
Quarterback from those teams?
Yeah, not everyone, just the ones that are projected to be, you know, in the competition. Like I'm not going out and getting.
And the Ravens receiver. And the Ravens
receiver. If you went out, I kind of want to put this to the test and check it because I kind of like this theory. I think if you went out and bought, problem is Brock Purdy is rated pretty high, and I just don't think Brock Purdy is good. But he could be the starter, the day one starter. So if you went out and got Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold, Taylor Heineke, Desmond Ridder, and Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield, did I say all of them? Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield. If you got all of those guys and you just held them until the start of the season, I think you might be able to trade them for higher value. You're doing this, but I think, like...
What?
I think you might be able
to. Well, it's interesting because...
No, because just think about it. Like, to get Lance, you're by yourself, you're going to have to give up probably close to a first in value.
If Lance pans out and becomes a stud, then yeah, he carries the trade in and of itself. If Lance goes to shit, now you've given up too much because he's the only guy if we take out the Niners quarterbacks, because those guys are in the first round both Purdy and Purdy.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy. If you take out the Niners, if you're talking, you know, Heineke and Ridder, sure, you could probably pick up both of the, you know, Heineke for a third and Ridder for a second. Like, sure, whatever one is the starter, you probably goes up to close to a first. Like fine.
Early third for Baker, like a late third for Trask.
For Trask, right. Like, that works because you're just bargain buying.
All right, we're tooling it here. We're tooling the process here.
But so, like, also you're going to lose whatever you –
Hold on. I've got the strat.
The others are just going to plummet.
So we're picking in the early second. Hear me out, guys. Hear me out. JT, I'm trying to help you out here. We're picking in the early second. We trade back to hopefully the end of the second, but if we need to, we can trade back to the very early third, like 301, 212, 302, somewhere in that realm. We traded for Mac Jones. Maybe we just try to trade. Oh, man, that would have been nice. Fuck. This would have been so fun. Okay, here's the strat. This is what you do. So you give up. The problem is that you give up on Will Levis or whoever that top end, not top end, but like hot, like QB2-y kind of dude that has a lot of upside. Yeah. You give up on that guy. Okay. But this, so let, what is the value difference between that going from the very early second to like the very early third? From you might be able to pick up like 2/3, right? At least.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the thing, is that that's the two of the quarterbacks that we're going to try and get, right? So you pick up 2/3, you trade 302 for Baker Mayfield. Or if you go, maybe if you can go from like very early second to kind of like mid-ish, you then trade it for, what's his name? Ridder.
Mm-hmm.
But then how do you get Baker? Cause I'm trying to get as many of these dudes as possible. If you do that trade from 202 to 301 and you're able to trade 301 for Baker straight up, you get 2/3 in the trade back. You trade that for Heinicke and Trask. And then you just buy Ridder for whatever he costs.
I think you could do something like 201 for 301, 306, and 310.
I almost would want to get a future third just so it, there's, because like 310 looks kind of eh. 306 is fine. I like 306. We can do 306.
So 201 for 301, 306, and 2024, I just put in mid-third. It's close enough that I think that that happens in real life.
That's even good value for a trade-up. You might even be able to get more. Like,
true.
I don't really know, though.
Then we're taking that. Who's the most valuable of them? Desmond Ridder, probably. We're taking the 301, and we probably have to put in something else, though, on top of that 301.
Yeah, it's just so awkward because I feel like we're not getting good value on 301. I almost think like you'd rather just do 301 straight up for Baker if that person has a surplus of quarterbacks and there's like a Tyjae Spears or a Roschon Johnson or whatever one of those running backs is on the board there. A Jalen Hyatt might be on the board there that they like, right? Like 301, there's good players. Yeah.
I don't know.
Tyjae Spears, Jalen Hyatt, Roschon Johnson.
Hyatt's not going to make it to three.
I've drafted Hyatt in three, like at the early third in almost every league.
Oof, then good for
you. That's how I have so many of him.
Then good for you. I don't know what else to say on that because I don't think he should even be close to that.
That's what I listen. I don't even like, I like Jalen Hyatt probably more than consensus, but like, I guess that's all there is to say. I like him more than consensus. But this is an interesting strat. We got to do the math on this, and then we'll get back to it. Or do we just fucking do it? How do we trade Mac Jones into this? How do we start the snowball with Mac Jones?
You trade Mac Jones for 2 seconds, and then you trade both of those seconds back into whatever.
Yeah, this league is just so stingy on the seconds. It's tough. All right, I've got an interesting scenario here. So let me pull up Sleeper, actually. Because I want to get y'all's opinion on this. You've probably seen this team before. It's not the first time I've put it on the pod, but it's one of my teams where it's not like a pretty obvious scenario for what I'm doing. So I was thinking with this team and in the two tight end format, which sucks, by the way, that this team has enough shit to compete. Like, you have Mahomes, you have Kyle Pitts in the two tight end. My running backs are pretty decent. Like, QB3 is rough. And I have picks that I want to probably use these picks, at least some of them, to get contendy type players to add some depth, because depth is a pretty big problem for this team right now. Also, because of UJT, I picked up Jalen Naylor.
Nice. I like Naylor. I do like that move.
Picked up Stetson Bennett in like the fourth as a little QB option. I was curious, if you were to use these draft picks right now, who would you try to pick up? The first thing I will get your opinion on, as I was thinking about, I'm not sure if this gets accepted. Not sure if I even want to do it because of this guy's weird team. I'll pull up his team. Shit, which one was it? I think it was this guy. Can I not just look? Okay, I guess you have to look at the matchup. Hold on, it's not the left team, it's the right team. Like, he's got some good players. Justin Fields, Bijan, Etienne, CeeDee, Waddle, Kmet, Juwan Johnson, Devontae Smith, Dobbins, Lazard, Lance, Trask, Purdy. His bench is pretty dog shit, all things considered. Like, do I even want to sell this dude's first? You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to see the whole thing. I don't know. Keep scrolling.
Like, his tight ends aren't great for this. I mean, I guess, like, Juwan Johnson's underrated. His QBs are very risky. He has both of the Niners QBs. And his bench is, like, pretty dog shit. IMO. Like, his starting lineup is pretty decent, but, you know, an injury or two, or like ETN maybe not being great, could kind of fuck his day up. Or if Sam Darnold's the starter. I guess Sam Darnold, if he's the starter, like, destroys him.
I don't know. I like Darnold. Most talented QB on the roster.
But yeah, I was thinking, like, if I could move this 24 first, if I did, like, that and a third for DJ Moore, like I was saying earlier, I was thinking about that, because I could use some receiver depth. I think DJ Moore would be a pretty prudent buy.
I'd rather do other ways of trading into than giving up draft capital. I'd have to look at the team again, though, to see what you could do.
I'm on delay. Here's my squad. This is the starting lineup. Yeah, the problem is that I kind of like where all these players are valued at, generally speaking.
It's so small.
Oh, sorry. Like, I was thinking, JT, if I was able to add, like, three starting players, startable players, with my first and a third, and then 2 seconds and another third, if I was able to turn that into three competitive players for the next, like, 2 to 3 seasons, and I just give up one draft class to do so, that could be pretty worth.
Yeah.
I can go into my bench if you're interested. My bench is not super great, but I have a couple of decent players.
So this league, tight ends are just, like, impossible to get, though. That's what you're
saying. They're annoying to get. They're not impossible to get. Like, but for example, to get a Goedert, I'd 100% have to give up a first.
Uh-huh.
Maybe even more.
Two tight ends, that's brutal.
Yeah, but I don't really mind that. Like, I paid the price for Kyle Pitts. I've got Cade Otton, who's at least a starting tight end. Like, I don't have a ton of depth, but I'm fine. I've got, like, what I believe are both plug-and-play players.
I don't know. Cade Otton doesn't strike me as a plug-and-play, but that's fine. Like, he's fine.
As a tight end, too, I'll take it. I think he's a top 24 tight end to me.
It's close, yeah. What's he at right now? He has to be close to that. Tight end 31.
I mean, Robert Tonyan's taking a hit here, but Tucker Kraft I picked up. I like Tucker Kraft.
It's not a bad one.
Like, listen, my backup tight ends aren't amazing, but that's not what really makes my team. I got a bunch of running backs I can play. I mean, I was thinking, I just don't really want to. One of the moves I was thinking is just, like, trying to tear down for Metcalf. Just not sure that's worth.
Not anymore. I think people have discounted him a decent amount.
I mean, my highest value players, like, tearing down for Mahomes and Pitts, I just kind of don't want to do.
Nah, not either. I wouldn't want to either.
A lot of my running backs are, like, kind of those veterans that are annoying to sell.
Yeah, you can't really move off them.
So yeah, what I was thinking of doing is like, if I can trade a singular second for a good veteran running back, like I don't think I can do it for Dalvin Cook, which sucks, but I need to be able to move a second for a contender piece that's decent that I can play in my flex spot.
Let me pull up recent trades of Nick Chubb.
The thing is, I want Nick Chubb. I want Nick Chubb as my RB1 on my contendee team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones then?
Aaron Jones, I honestly think AJ Dillon's a good buy too.
Let me see if I could find singular. Looks like Aaron Jones is.
Well, I have Aaron Jones, unfortunately.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, you're talking about.
I'm talking about buying players. I'm talking about. Yeah, I have a second round pick. I'm looking to buy some.
All right, recent trades for like a Dalvin Cook, for example, are a 2024 second for Cook and a 2024 fourth.
I would take that. At this point, that's what I'm.
Miles Sanders for Zach Wilson and Dalvin Cook. Let's see. I'm trying to find more just single straight up. 206 for Dalvin Cook. 304 and Isaiah Likely for Dalvin Cook.
Whoa.
Sky Moore for Dalvin Cook.
Okay, so Dalvin Cook is definitely in the range of a second.
He's gettable. Jahan Dotson for Dalton Schultz and Dalvin Cook. Trying to find more just single or limited. 208 and 308 for Cook.
See, the problem is that Dalvin Cook in this league is on a team with another contender who's in a similar spot to me. James Conner is an interesting one.
Yeah, I like James Conner. I think, you know, his only running back competition is Keontae Ingram. Mm-hmm. I think Eno Benjamin signed elsewhere. Like, I just think he's all by himself in an offense that is going to be led by, what, Colt McCoy for the first few weeks of the year. He's going to get fed.
Yeah, I'm looking at trades for James Conner now. All right, some of these just don't make sense. Let's see. Okay, here's James Conner for 2 seconds and a third, really? No? Are people higher on James Conner than they are Dalvin Cook?
It might
James be. Conner for 308, Zamir White and Kyren Williams. Okay, that's more like it. James Conner for 406 and 706, which I didn't know you could do.
Hey, we had a seventh round when we started.
What about James Conner for Wandale Robinson?
Is that a bait?
Yeah, don't touch.
Yeah, I think I've turned off Cortland Sutton now. Where's Cortland Sutton even going? He's in the 13th round. Oh, maybe he might be.
He's gone so low that it's actually good.
Yeah, well, like he's ranked outside of the top 50 wide receivers. All right, you're starting to reel me back in here. Cortland Sutton for 302 and 306. Okay, yeah, wait, I'm back in.
That's what Cortland I'm thinking. Sutton. Like, what if I traded for Cortland Sutton and Cortland I gave up Sutton Smidge? For,
a late second and a fifth. Cortland Sutton for Dalton Schultz. Cortland Sutton and a third for a second.
Yeah, what if I did something like that?
Yeah, I'd do that. Cortland Sutton for Raheem Mostert and 2/3. Cortland Sutton, 2/3.
Listen, I can give him 2/3.
I'm just looking at the trades that actually happened with Cortland Sutton, and he is cheap.
What about Amari Shmoop?
It's probably another good one that people have just kind of plummeted.
Yeah, Amari Shmoop is still highly priced, though. The problem with Amari Shmoop, and I saw Skull, you recommended him in chat, is that I feel like I'd almost rather buy, like, just Diontae Johnson at that point, or Christian Kirk, or someone that I just kind of want to hold long-term more. Like, he's at a high enough value threshold.
Yeah.
And similar thing with D-Hop. I think D-Hop is at least a little bit more of a buy because, like, I think D-Hop has a higher chance of being, like, a stud muffin McGee, you know, like I just feel like I'll rather pay a little bit more to get my 1100 yard receiver, one that I'm more willing to hold long term. I'd rather buy Jahan Dotson for a little bit more, but that's just me because I like Jahan Dotson a lot. But like, even in that regard, like Terry McLaurin, Chris Godwin, Debo. I think Debo is probably much lower priced than whatever this ADP saying he is.
You think so?
How much do I have to pay to get Debo? It can't be a whole lot more than a random first.
Debo Samuel for Zay Flowers straight up is a trade that happened. Debo Samuel and Chris Godwin for Jalen Waddle. I'm trying to find more pick-centric. Debo Samuel for 110, Nico Collins and Richie James.
Oh, that's so weird.
Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel in the 2025 first for 108. That's crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah, Debo Samuel might.
What happened there? Was that like a Bryce Young fell to 108 league?
I don't know.
Farm for him.
Debo Samuel and Pacheco for Dotson, Juwan Johnson, and a 2024 second. Yeah, right, Debo's cheap, it looks like.
I thought that was decent value for Debo there. Wait, what did he get? He got Juwan Johnson a second and Deontay?
No. Jahan Dotson, Juwan Johnson, and a 2024 second for Debo and Pacheco.
Oh, and Pacheco's in there. He's a fucking weird one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Debo in a third for Bateman in 2 seconds.
That's Debo. A great trade for Debo.
There's not a lot there. Just Debo for Michael Pittman and 2/3.
That's pretty good value for Debo, honestly. I'd probably have Michael Pittman and him are probably in the same tier.
Are they?
Yeah, because Michael Pittman's young.
I just don't like Michael Pittman. I liked him more coming out of school, but I've soured.
Debo and a second for Ridley and Bateman. Debo and Kyle Trask.
I like that. Dude, that's a great trade again, for Debo. Debo
for very nice. Debo and Kyle Trask for 111 and 212. Debo for Elijah Moore in a second.
Oh, dude, that's a great trade getting Debo for Elijah Moore in a second. Like, yeah, it stinks you're giving up Elijah Moore but that's a good price for Elijah Moore right now, given his risk.
Debo for Rashad White and Kadarius Toney.
That's like JT throwing his phone at the wall when he gets offered that for Debo.
Yeah, but it's also me smashing my thumb through my phone to hit accept if I'm on the other side.
That's funny. Yeah, I think that like you look at that price, if you look at Michael Pittman's trades, I think you see him going for a little bit more on average. Like,
I just not a huge Pittman guy. Like, I'd rather have Ayuk. I'd rather have Dotson. I'd rather have Pickens. I'd rather have Zay Flowers.
I don't know.
I would argue that I'd rather have Deontay as well. Like,
it's just that Michael Pittman is in that nice spot where everyone wants him. Debo is reaching that, because I think rebuilding teams want him and contending teams like him.
Sure.
So you just, like, 25. Everyone could trade for Pittman right now. Whereas Debo, you've limited your market to only contenders. So, if you're a contender, I could definitely see your argument for having Debo. But in just a vacuum, Pittman is a pretty darn safe investment, in my opinion. He's always, literally his entire life, he's demanded a pretty high target share. And he's 25.
I think he's actually kind of gone up a little bit in ADP since Anthony Richardson joined the team.
Yeah, it's just hype.
I might like Michael Pittman, to be honest.
I think he's pretty fairly valued, all things. Like, I would draft him at his ADP pretty comfortably. I draft him above his ADP pretty comfortably.
Mm-hmm. I think agreed, looking at where he is.
But yeah, he's definitely not like a, oh, I'm targeting this guy every draft.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else? I think we have run pretty long here.
That does it.
All right, if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Skull, Peter the R, Joey, Bear in chat. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep, peace out. We'll see you next Tuesday. See ya.